We're going to read a few verses from Hebrews 13. You shall read the first six verses, and even though the page of notes only deals with the first three, we're going to read the first six. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Remember those who are laid aside. It was good to see Brother Ara this morning. It was real good to see him, and I think he left now to go home and rest, but I'm thankful that he was able to be out. And then, of course, remember Janie Smith. And then Karen Martin had the chest pain and had the cardiogram. Lorna, who's married to J.T. Elliott, is going to, she has a heart murmur, and is going to have the same thing this week. And we need to remember the various ones in prayer. And then, of course, are those who are expecting. We need to remember Terry, as she's expecting at this time. And Beth Burke. I always want to say Beth, but Beth Burke. She was due yesterday, and I was going to call Alice, but I didn't. But I was going to call her to see if Ludwig made his arrival yet. That's my favorite name for babies when they come. I always tell them you should name him Ludwig. He was a boy, and Ludwig, I think. That's how it is. Then, of course, there's Miss Smith and the rest home, and there's quite a few on our list, that prayer list that we read every Wednesday night concerning for various ones. And we can just thank God for answered prayer. And you look at Brother David, and you think of what could have happened in the fall with a crushed vertebrae, and to see him going without a brace is something that should bring forth the praise of God's people and rejoicing in answered prayer. Let's just pray together. O God our Father, thy dear Son has made known thy heart, the heart of the triune God. For he is the one who has been manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen of angels and preached out to the Gentiles, believed on in the world and received up into glory. So that we can now say, whom having not seen we love. And it is he who is the theme of our praise, our song, and our joy. And we ask you that today we may grasp the truth of the joy that is available for us as the people of God. We thank you now for the privilege of opening your word. We pray for all those who were mentioned. We think of Beth and Terry as they're expecting. Graciously undertake. We pray for Brother David in Lexington, bringing back safely to us, filled with joy and filled with new vigor in the things of God. And then for Mrs. Smith and the rest home and Brother Aaron, O God our Father, you answered prayer concerning Roy's wife. She was with us this morning, and we thank you for that. And truly we can rejoice in thy sovereign mercy. Your grace is continual and blessed, and we give you thanks in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. We're in Hebrews 13, page number 48. And you'll notice in the introduction, the final chapter of Hebrews is very practical and answers to the moral demand of the second table of God's holy law. You remember when God gave the law to Moses, it was on two tables of stone. The first table is respect for God, the worship of God. Commandment number one, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make any graven image, the likeness of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath. How our holy God is to be approached. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So here we have man's worship of God, and that should be number one in the life. Our worship of the Lord. When the lawyer said to the Lord there in Matthew chapter 22, what is the first, the great commandment of the law? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God? No. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now that's the first table of the law. And then he added, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's the second table of the law. And the second table of the law, number five, children, obey your parents in the Lord, honor thy father and thy mother. And then, the thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. That takes us to number nine. This is man dealing with himself. And then there's number ten, the extra commandment. That's the one that gets us all in trouble. See, if God wouldn't have put that extra commandment on there, because that tenth commandment, nobody ever commits the seventh without first of all committing the tenth. Nobody ever commits the eighth without first of all breaking the tenth. Nobody ever breaks the fifth without first of all breaking the tenth. The tenth commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Before a man steals, he covets. Before a man commits adultery, he covets. Before a man bears false witness, he covets. Oh, that's a commandment that gives to us. You see, you and I can't see the heart. Paul in Romans chapter 7, a chapter that few people take time to really examine and understand. In Romans chapter 7, he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. What commandment is he talking about? He's talking about the tenth commandment. You see, with the others, you see, outward conformity, thou shalt not steal. But all the while I wanted to. Because I coveted what somebody else had. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But you see, we can commit adultery with the mind. For the Lord says, whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. I was alive without the law once. For Paul the apostle, he said he was above everyone in his nation. He tells us that in Philippians chapter 3. But in Romans 7 he says, but when the commandment came, when the commandment smote him on his heart, on the inward part. For that's what David said to the Lord in Psalm 51. Thou desirest truth on the inward parts. You see. And therefore, here in Hebrews chapter 13, where we've gone through 12 chapters of approach to the Lord, the greatness of our high priest, the privileges that are ours as the people of God, we now come the responsibility that is ours toward one another. You see, the world doesn't love me. It doesn't have to. But you do. Your family. Your family. You gotta not only love me, you gotta put up with me. But you see, your family. We're in the family of God. That's what we read. You see, in the third verse. In the third verse that we're dealing with this morning, let us read it again. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. We're in the body of Christ. And this body of Christ is far more important than physical relationships. And therefore, let brotherly love continue. Now notice the second sentence in the introduction. If the gospel makes known the infinite love and amazing grace of God in Christ, it also directs us to the performance of spiritual and moral duties, which are required by the law. Remember what James said in James chapter 2? Concerning the royal law of liberty, it is fulfilled in that one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's what's basically before us. What our Lord said to the man there who asked him that question in Matthew 22. And to that question, the man answered well, and our Lord said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom. Now notice, it lays additional obligations, it directs their right performance, and it supplies new and powerful motives to fulfill the requirements of the law. Now we often forget this. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now notice, number one on your paper, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Now that's a definite link between the last chapter, chapter 12, and the one before us. And notice, A, the principal duties which believers are to perform Godward are mentioned in chapter 12. In other words, verse 25. Here, see that we, that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. We're to listen to what God has to say in the Word of God. That's Godward worship and Godward appreciation. And then verse 28, serve God acceptably. In verse 28, where we read, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. God is going to remove all things, but we have a kingdom that can't be moved. Well, I'm in a great place. It says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, take time out to examine your approach to God. When you worship the Lord, how do you approach? Your approach to God. We need to serve God acceptably. Notice D. Now we are exhorted to the performance of our duties manner. Not only am I responsible as a child of God Godward, I am responsible as a child of God manward to one another. Let brotherly love continue. But now notice E. The order is first, the loving of God with all our heart, and second, our loving of our neighbor as ourselves. Boy, that second one is hard, isn't it? So is the first one. The first one is hard. For you see how difficult it is. When you notice what emphasis we put on worship today. The emphasis that in individual lives are put on worship. There are a lot of things that could be said. But now notice, we move on. 12:27. Number 2 in your paper. The Hebrews are reminded that the things that are made shall be shaken and removed. In other words, everything is going to be obliterated. 2 Peter 3 says in verse 6, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens being on fire shall melt in fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, the things that we give so much attention to are all going to be burned up. Seeing that all these things, Peter says, shall be removed, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In other words, knowing that everything is going to be burned up, it should deliver me from covetousness now, trying to acquire things. And we're going to deal with covetousness in a couple weeks, and it's dealt with in this chapter. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. You see, it's all going to be burned up, but my attitude toward others in the body that make up what we know of as the kingdom of God is most important. And it's that we receiving a kingdom we just read which cannot be moved. Now all things are going to be shaken, but we have a kingdom that can't be shaken. It's an unshakable kingdom, an unshakable peace, an unshakable worship. For we worship by grace. Now, notice, now they are exhorted to let that abide, which is of God, which is eternal. You remember 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter? You know how it closes. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So, this is eternal. It shall abide. But now, notice 3 on your paper in parenthesis there. This, my friend, is the evidence of a genuine conversion. That I have truly been born of God. This attitude that you see many times, it doesn't matter to me. Well, see, it is an evidence of a genuine conversion. The Lord working in the heart and continuing to work in the heart. Notice A, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now the brethren are the hardest thing in the world to love. You know, to dwell above with saints we love, well, will not that be glory, but to live below with saints we know. Now that's a different story. You see, and the brethren are hard to love many times. A brother is born for adversity, the word of God says. And how we let little things and jealousies and envies crop up. I'll never forget, I spoke at a retreat north of Allentown, Pennsylvania, one weekend. And there was a whole denomination that gathered. And there was a good trio there. But they wouldn't sing. They wouldn't sing because the girl that usually sang with them wasn't there. And there were plenty of altos that could have sang with that trio and had a good trio. And oh no. Their little clique wouldn't permit anybody else in. You see, let brotherly love continue. You see, all these things, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. You see, now notice, love brought the Son of God from heaven to die for sinners on the cross. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And of course we know Galatians 2:20, the ending of the verse, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. But now notice, see, the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of believers by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. I said Romans 5:1, but my typewriter is wrong. It isn't Romans 5:1, it's about verse 5, I think it should be. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. See, I visit a man who's in the penitentiary. And the man loves the Lord. And he can't understand why certain people in his own family claim to love the Lord but have nothing to do with it. You see, let brotherly love continue. And it deals with us. Remember them that are in bonds. He's in bonds. As bound with him. You see, I'm bound with him. Why? He's in the same body I'm in. He's part of the kingdom. And my, it's a joy. It's not always easy to take time to go visit, but I'll tell you this. It's that which fills you with joy. It's blessed. You see, notice D in your paper. The love led the writer to the Hebrews to urge the Christian to prove the reality of their profession by going on. You see, that's what we have in the close of Hebrews chapter 10. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure really in him. But we are not of them that draw back, but we are them that go on to the salvation of the soul. And this continuance in love, the fact that this is written, let brotherly love continue. It shows that it's possible for our love to grow cold. Otherwise the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put it there and urged us, get down to business. Is the urging of the Holy Spirit. Let brotherly love continue. And in the first epistle of John, he says, love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, how do you show your love? Not by saying it, but by doing it. But by doing it. You see, notice the last one there, E. Now the writer shows how by a continuance of love, the various obligations of the believer are fulfilled. And when you come to the epistle to the Galatians, for instance, and you get into chapter 6, in chapter 6 of Galatians, he says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. What is he really saying? He's saying, don't talk about it. Do something. Confront the brother. Because he fell today. I may fall tomorrow. For none of us are above falling. For the scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And when somebody falls, I know the tongues wag. Why did that happen? Why did David number the people? When Joab, the general, had more common sense than he did. The sweet psalmist of Israel. I'll tell you why he numbered them. God had something against Israel. And he was seeking an opportunity to discipline them. Israel had foolishly followed after Absalom. And Absalom would have killed David. And the nation had never repented of it. God will bring them to repentance. So he permitted Satan to stir up the heart of David to number the people. And that desire to number the people was nothing but pride in the heart of David. Why did God permit creatures to fall? It may not be the preacher at all. It may be the congregation that he's angry with. Their accidental attitude toward the things of God. So he permits the preacher to fall in order to get the congregation to a place where they're going to pray. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual. Beloved, this matter of showing love in the body is far more important than just hugging one another and then going about our business. It's a lot deeper than that. But that brings us to the compassion of love, verses 2 and 3. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In other words, towards strangers, it has to be this attitude of love. And the duty is required both to those who are Hebrews and also to strangers, to their persons, for they were seeking, they were strangers seeking another country. In other words, in those days when a believer traveled, it wasn't safe to stay in a hotel or an inn, as they were called, Luke chapter 2. It wasn't a good place to stay. It was an ungodly place. But what about the home of a believer? This is what entertaining strangers is about. It is showing hospitality. Notice D. Believing Jews were in desperate, distressed condition. Having no certain dwelling place, Paul said of himself in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11. How wonderful! How wonderful to be entertained in a home, in a godly home. Whenever I go to Augusta, and I was there last week, I'm entertained like a king. If you'd see the room I stay in, you'd understand what I mean. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that. But this is their manner of life. And they're the most common people you want to find. Let brotherhood love continue. Entertain strangers. You know, a couple of, we had more people in our home, in and out, over the years. And what a blessing. As we were sitting around the table with Ann and Paul, and everybody was there, all the families were there. I said, in growing up, what was the one thing that you remember that really stands out? And both Ann and Paul said, all the people we had come through, and the things they could do and tell you their experiences. You see, we're robbing our children when we don't entertain strangers. When our home is closed, when it's me, my, and mine, when our home is shut up, and it isn't open, and I'll tell you, I have some of the greatest people come to my home. I remember Colton Shepherd from the Message to Israel. He lived in Long Island. What a gentleman. What a gentleman. And I'll never forget where, when he came down on a Sunday morning, he was looking for me and he couldn't see me. He said, where's the theologian this morning? You see, we talked theology all the time he was there. And what a delight. He's the one who opened his broadcast to the words in Hebrew. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I've been with the Lord quite a few years, but I remember him well. B. Entertained strangers. Now notice. C. The motive. Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And I had to speak one time in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. It was a big banquet on a Saturday afternoon. And I only learned I had to speak on Thursday night. This is what a friend does to you. My friend Dr. Cunningham, he called me and said, Phil, are you coming to the banquet? I said, yes. He said, well, you're the speaker. I said, well, Doug Hudson is going to be there. Why don't you call him? He said, no, I've made up my mind. It's you. When I was speaking, I said, you know, hospitality is a great thing. The Bible says, whereby some have entertained angels unaware. I've never had that privilege. Everyone that ever stayed with me was a follower. I said, we entertain the Cunningham. I got back at it. But anyway, some have entertained angels unaware. Notice A, Abraham did in Genesis 18. And even Lot, in his backslidden condition, dwelling in Sodom, he opened his home to the angels that visited Sodom that night. Remember that. A lot entertained angels. But look, carry this step farther. This is one of the qualifications for an elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And for widows who are to be given financial help. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. In other words, what you have in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in that little section is a section called a widow indeed. The widow indeed is one who is to be supported by the local assembly, for she has no other means of support. See, there was not social security in those days. And if you had no relatives to help, the believers were expected to take care of the widows. But then in verse 3, he goes on toward those in bonds. Notice, A, while some churches are enjoying prosperity, others are going through severe adversity and trials. In other words, this is what should occupy us in relation to missions. Those who are in bonds. Now, there are a lot who are in bonds in various places with whom you cannot communicate in certain countries in Europe behind the Iron Curtain, before the Iron Curtain came down. There are people who are in the body, who are in bonds. There are those that we mentioned on Missionary Night. Every time we read a letter from New Tribes Mission. In fact, they just came out with a tract. This is for Ray Rising, wrote a tract from Wycliffe Translators, who had been living in the jungle and escaping his prisoners for over a year. And it's quite interesting with that. It's a story of his survival, really. And remember those that are in bonds. And we mention the names of those who are captured, their wives and families live every day, wondering, I wonder if he's dead or alive. And what was he doing? He was spreading the gospel. He was out on the battlefield. You see, he was out there as a target. But he was there as a target for the person of Christ. Remember them that are in bonds. I tell you, all we need to prove these verses is genuine persecution in this country. And I'm not too sure it isn't coming. I believe it's coming. I believe the time's going to come when we're going to be able to separate the men from the boys when it comes to believers. Those who really belong to the Lord and who are ready to move on for God. Now notice, these all are not called to resist unto blood at the same time. And that's a little phrase. You are not yet resisted unto blood. The writer to the Hebrews wrote, you remember. You are not yet resisted unto blood. So, some have not. We have had it easy relative to the Christian life and witness in this country. And are we making use of that in getting us the gospel? Notice C. Those who are at liberty must sympathize with those that are in bonds and adversity as though they were bound with the same chain. And the reason for it, notice D, is ye being yourselves in the body. We are members one of another. It is so important. You see, not only in the body natural. You see, like we belong to the same church, and we're speaking of a local group that has a name over the door. Like, we're in Bible fellowship. That's natural. But in the spiritual body, the church, and the church is universal. It is worldwide. There are believers in Java. There are believers everywhere, for God has a remnant according to the election of grace. He does. And they're everywhere. And notice the little C there, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. If one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. 1 Corinthians 12 uses the analogy of the physical body. You see, now if you have a good toothache, your whole body sympathizes with that tooth. And if you have an ingrown toenail, I tell you, that little member can keep the whole body awake all night. You see, if one member suffers, and the analogy is in the body of Christ, we are members one of another. And this is very important. Notice E on your paper. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35, 37, 38, and verse 40. I'm not going to turn to it and read it. Our time's limited. At the judgment of the living nation, when our Lord returns to earth, when our Lord comes again, everybody is going to be judged as to how they ministered in compassion toward their brethren. I was in prison, and you visited me not. I was sick, and you visited me not. Etc., etc. It goes down the list. It goes right down the list. And remember what the sheep say. When did we see you in this condition and didn't minister to you? And the Lord is going to answer them. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. In my travels, I'm often asked to sign a guest book. You see, my name is on guest books quite a few places. And you know what I write in there? Remarks? I write one word. inasmuch. Inasmuch. For our Lord says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I tell you, it's a good thing to remember. And then, of course, yes, remember, Peter denied the Lord in the yard of Caiaphas. You see, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. But that's where he denied the Lord, do you remember? But Paul praised the house of Onesiphorus, for he was not ashamed of my shame. Paul was chained to a soldier, and Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul's chain. Wow. Let brotherly love continue. Now this is, it's wonderful, you know, to go through 12 chapters of Hebrews, and not only to see the glories of the person of Christ, but that to which we're brought into because we're in Christ. It's another thing to look at the practical aspect of what it means to be born of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you now that you would take this word, bless it to every heart. We thank you for what we have in thy dear Son, and for the relationship that is ours, and that we're in a kingdom that cannot be moved while everything else falls apart. We have a kingdom that will not. And we praise you for it. And we need thy grace to live in the body as it pleases you, for Jesus' sake.